The third Aliyah of Parshas Toldos continues with the little that we know about Yitzchok's life, telling us the mysterious story of the wells. And the Aliyah begins telling us that Vayigdal Haish, that the man became great, he grew. And the Radak understands this is a reference to wealth, the Netziv commenting that that's the topic of the whole story here, but the Sonar Rebbe in his Nesiva Shalom suggests that it's not really a reference to wealth, that's only mentioned because that's going to be the cause of the strife that the Aliyah talks about, but the real focus is that he grew as in his Avodas Hashem. And that's the reference, the previous Pasuk in the last Aliyah, the Mea Sha'arim. It's actually a reference to different ways that he found to worship Hashem, to deal with challenges, and that he did so, he suggests, through a shiflus, and that the pasuk talking about ma'od is a reference here to ma'od, ma'od, hevi shval ruach, a person should have much modesty, and it's through that attribute that he comes to inherit the land. And that's in contrast, he suggests, to the meraglim, who are also called anushim, but they were haughty, they didn't have that attribute of shiflus, and therefore they weren't as meritorious as Yitzchak. But in any event, Yitzchak's growth and his success here is a source of jealousy, and the next pasuk tells us, Vayikanu oso plishtim, that the plishtim were envious of him. Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch notes that the language is oso and not bo. They weren't really jealous of his money, he understands, but rather of his personal status. And the Netziv suggests that the language of Yikanu actually means that they harassed him and they filled up the wells, as the next pasuk tells us. Rashi says that they claimed that they were doing this because it was a problem, that the wells caused an issue. Should other armies come, they may want to take over the land because of the wells. And that sounds like a pretext. Doesn't sound like it's the real reason. Although others suggest that it must have been the real reason, because if it was simple jealousy, they would have just taken the wells rather than just plugging them up. Although, we could suggest in response to that, that when people act out of jealousy, they don't necessarily act rationally, and they don't necessarily know their own true motivations, so it's very possible that they were indeed jealous, and yet came with a counterproductive action in order to stop him from having the success, even though it didn't actually profit them at all. And Avimelech expresses to Yitzchak that he should leave, ki atzamta mimenu me'od, because you have become too big for us. And most interpret that as you're a threat to us, so we want you to leave. The Radak understands it as Mishalanu, that you are taking from us, which seems to be evocative of perhaps a communist understanding of property, that your growth comes at our expense, and therefore you're a problem. So please leave and stop taking from that which we need for our own profit. So indeed, the next pasuk tells us, Vayelech Misham Yitzchak, that he left. And here, as Midrashim tell us, Hirchik Atzma min Hamachlokes, that he didn't want to be involved in quarreling, so indeed he left. And then he ends up coming back and redigging the wells which his father Avram had dug and which had been plugged up, and he gives them new names, and he also digs new wells. And he digs wells that are called Esek because of the fights, and gives another well, the name Sitna, also because of the fights. And then he digs another well, which is called Rehovos, and that one does not have any fights. And he says, Ki ata hirchiv Hashem lanu ufarinu v'aretz, now Hashem has given us space, and we will be able to increase. So this whole story is somewhat mysterious, and it prompts the question as to what exactly it's here to teach us, and what exactly the message is. And the Radak suggests that the point is to show Yitzchak's chazaka in Eretz Yisrael, and all the fights that surround that. And the Abravanel and others understand that it's actually to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection, and that even if there is fighting, Yitzchak still does end up prevailing in the end. And the Ramban has a fascinating comment here, discussing the names of these wells, where he notes that this is really symbolic about the future, and that the wells represent the three Batei Mikdash, and that Esek has that name because it represents the first Beis HaMikdash that will be surrounded by wars from the nations fighting over it. Sitna is even worse, and refers to all of the persecution and prosecution that surrounds that. But the last Beis HaMikdash, one that will not involve any fighting, that is what is represented by this third well, Rehovos. And there is a very extensive discussion about this in a sefer, a contemporary sefer called Ma'oros Yitzchak by Rav Yitzchak Edeltuk, where he discusses this at great length. And he notes, first of all, that this whole story, referring to the future Batei Mikdash, is all told in the context of Yitzchak, who otherwise we don't know that much about. And we find that Yitzchak is associated with the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash tells us that the Chanukah Samizbeach of the Mishkan waited until Nisan, because that was the month that Yitzchak was born in. And we know that Yitzchak represents the Midas HaDin. And Rashi tells us in the beginning of Bereishis that Hashem wanted to create the world with the Midas HaDin and saw that it wasn't going to last and had to combine it with Rachamim. And the Maral has a comment that this is something, it's not obvious why we need to know this. So what's the importance of knowing what could have been and what happened instead? And he explains that this is to make the point that we would be better off if we are able to be successful al pi midas hadin, because that's the way things are meant to be. It's not that din represents scary judgment or harshness. It represents things going as they are supposed to be. And din is what's necessary for Kiddush Hashem. It's how things go when everything is acting as it's meant to be. And the Mikdash is the place of Gilui Shechina, and therefore it's appropriate that Yitzchak, with his Midas HaDin, is associated with the Beis HaMikdash. And this is perhaps connected and evocative to a often quoted passage the Gemara has in Masechta Shabbos, as the Maoris Yitzchak notes. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos and Daf Pei Tes and Midbeis that the time will come when Yitzchak will be the great defender of the Jewish people. The Gemara there talks about a time when it'll happen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look for one of the Avos to defend the Jews who have sinned, and he'll turn to Avram and he'll say, Banecha Chatuli, your children have sinned. And Avram's response will be, Yimachu al Kedusha Shmecha. So then if they sin, they have to be destroyed. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn to Yaakov, who had Sar Gidol Banim, who had to deal with the difficulty of raising children, Efshir Deboi Rachami Alayu, maybe he will then pray for them, he'll know what to say. And once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, Banecha Chatu, and his response is also, Yimachu al Kedusha Shmecha. So then they have to pay the price. And God says, Amar lo v'save taima v'lo b'darta k'yetza. So the older one can't help, the younger one can't help. So he's going to turn to Yitzchak, and he's going to say, Banecha chatuli. And here Yitzchak's the one who has the response. And he says, Ribono shel olam, first banai v'lo banecha. What, they're my sons, they're my children, they're not your children? V'shashik dimu l'fanecha nasa l'nishma. When they said nasa before nishma, karasa lehem b'ni b'chari. So then you were so proud, you called them my children. Achshav banai v'lo banecha, now you're not recognizing them as your children? And further, he goes on to say, V'od kama chatu, how much have they could possibly have sinned? Kama shnosov shel adam, shivim shana, a person lives 70 years. Dal esrin de lo ansha alayu, so you take away 20 years that they're not a bar onshin, so all you have left is 50. Half of that time they're sleeping, so all you have left of that is 25. Half of that time they're dealing with all of the physical needs, so all you have left is 12 and a half years. So 12 and a half years they could have sinned, says Yitzchak, so let's split the difference. You take half, and I'll take half. And if that's too much, says Yitzchak, so then I'll take it all, and you'll remember that I was ready to sacrifice myself for you, so I'm willing to take it all on my back. And to that, then Yitzchak is referred, Ki Ato Avinu, he's referred to as the father, and Yitzchak responds, don't praise me, praise Hashem. And this notion that Yitzchak is the defender of the Jewish people, so the Ma'aris Yitzchak explains that this is to represent the fact that he's able to do so together with his Midah of the Midah Sadin. And this is a different interpretation than Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who in his Emes Yaakov understood that the reason it was specifically Yitzchak and the Midah Sadin, who is the one who defends the Jewish people, because all of the Avos were tested in the opposite of their Midah. But the Sefer Ma'aris Yitzchak thought that it was the opposite interpretation, that it's specifically because he's able to explain, to make a good case, why they should be exonerated, why they should be defended. So that's working through the Midas Adin, and that's how the system is meant to be upheld, and that's where the Shechina actually finds its expression, and that's where the Batei Mikdash are ultimately going to find their manifestation through the Midas Adin, and that's all the power of Yitzchak, and that's why these wells are associated with him. A fascinating interpretation. The Slonim Rebbe, in his Nesiva Shalom, has additional significances that he attaches to the three wells as well. That perhaps they also represent the different Midos of the Avos, and that the first well represents the Ahava of Avram, which is also susceptible to Yetzirah and to fighting, and the second well represents the Yira of Yitzchak, also susceptible to other kinds of Yetzirah, and it's only through the third well with the Torah is able to keep the Yetzirah all under control. He also suggests that they refer to different stages of life, that in youth there are Yetzirahs that are hard to control. In the middle of life, there are different Yetzirahs that also pose their own challenges. And then in the third stage of life, everything is more settled and one is able to be peaceful. And that's what that third well represents. So there's much imagery and many lessons perhaps contained in these wells. And there's also one more point perhaps to close on, that in the earlier pasuk here, pasuk Yud Ches, where it tells us that Yitzchak came back and he redug the wells. So the Netziv has a fascinating comment which resonates with us very powerfully at this moment, that the Netziv notes that it's specifically because Yitzchak was outside that he was able to protect the wells. And he says this is very often the way it happens in Golis, that we think that we're in trouble, we think that we're suffering, and that things are bad for us, but we find that we're positioned, that we're able to help in ways that we hadn't necessarily imagined. And Yitzchak was able to be in a position of protection because of where he found himself at that moment. And so too, even when we think that we're in a bad situation, and often it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping us and giving us the possibility of protecting and emerging victorious and safe from the situations that seem very far from those types of protections. So we hope very much that indeed that will be our bracha at this point in time, that even that which seems very dark, really it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu positioning us for success. And indeed, just as the message of these wells is that ultimately we find peace and we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, that should be our position now as well.